And you'll notice that Steve Allenmore is supposed to be leading worship, but he's not here yet, so you get me today. Are there any announcements or praise requests or reports? I have three announcements. The first one is for Paul. Paul is going in front of the presbytery today to, it's part of the process of becoming an official candidate for the ministry. So keep him in your prayers today. Larry and I both will be going to presbytery. And Sam, he's coming from Alabama and he's stopping at presbytery on the way home. So be with him as he travels. We won't have youth tonight because both Paul and I will be at Presbytery. Wake Up, the Youth Evangelism Conference. Time's ticking away. We have until November 15th for the final registration, which is now $125. If you need any information, come ask me. And also, there's a young adult retreat, November 6th through 8th. It's $25 if you need any information. Come and see me.
I have one announcement. Little boxes, these are flat back on the table. There is one that's put together, and then I got one about halfway put together. And if I can put one all the way together and one halfway together, and all you have to do is, you know, slide the extension into the slot, it ought to be easy. Fold a few things that's already marked. This is for a project in South America, Colombia, our mission work there, this is where the loaves and fish is going to this year, and it's the same place that Sam and Tommy Job and others from this congregation in this area have been going, and we will have more information about it next week, but if you want to take a box, start filling it this week, that's perfectly all right. Thank you very much.
Any prayer requests or praises?
Dot Arnold. Many of us know Ms. Ross Arnold, and she a return of breast cancer. Is that?
I talked to Melanie today, this morning, and her daughter is doing better. There's still a lump on her neck, but she is doing better. Okay. If there are no others, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer in the lighting of the candles. If you'll follow along with me in your bulletin and the call to worship, please stand. Our call to worship this morning comes from the Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Lord, we really do become complacent before you, and we become so casual. And then your word reminds us of your majesty and your glory and your power. And it reveals to us
more than we can understand about how great you are. Lord, when we come nonchalantly into your presence, oh Lord, we come with confession. And we just want to be alert and aware. And we want to experience you and your greatness. Lord, yes, forgive us for we have not remembered how mighty you are, how great you are. And Lord, as we have come this morning, thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, you have invited us. We just praise your name and thank you for it. Great God, majestic, reaching down to fallen mankind and saying, come to worship me. And Lord, thank you for the privilege. Help us to understand the greatness of this time in your house as you speak to us and as we get to offer praise and thanksgiving to you. And Lord, we offer our prayer and this service in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing, and I believe we turn to number 555. We're on a march.
We're marching to Zion. Let's sing the first, second, and last verses.
Apostles' Creed is found on the screen or in the hymnal number 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. If you follow along in our prayer of confession, God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to the paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. My friends, hear this. Since Christ intercedes for us, He is able to save everyone who approaches God through Him. Draw near to God through Christ and walk blameless in God's sight.
Turn with me to 430. I must tell Jesus. Let's sing the first and the second verse.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, kind my burdens alone. I must know Jesus. I must know Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Let's sing the third verse.
The world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must know Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I was supposed to be an usher, so if I could get somebody to take my, Steve Allenmore, take my place. Thank you. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. For our ushers, please come forward.
Go to God in prayer. Well, the ushers or any member of the congregation may offer their expressions of thanksgiving. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your watch care over us. Lord, there are trials and tribulations. There are things that we cannot handle alone. But you have invited us, and you even encourage us to bring these before you. So we come this morning with many needs. We come with much joy, Lord, recognizing that every good gift comes down from above, from you, O Lord. Thank you for the material benefits of life. And Lord, we know that everything belongs to you, and we're only stewards of what is yours. Lord, you have entrusted us. You have seen and given us opportunity to see whether we will be faithful stewards or not so faithful. We pray, Lord, where we have failed in our stewardship, that you will convict us and bring us to a response that will bring glory to you. Lord, bless the offerings that are received today, the tithe, and direct their use for your glory and your honor, the upbuilding of your kingdom, as we march to that heavenly home that sometimes we refer to as Zion. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.
special music?
Miss Kim is not able to be with us. She had a claim.
Okay, well then Paul Tucker is going to read our scripture this morning.
Our first scripture this morning comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you were in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Now from Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was evil, was only evil, all the time. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Rebels. They were. But we are also. If that's offensive to you, it's Bible. And sometimes we don't like to be reminded of who we are or what we are, but what we like and what's reality and truth sometimes are far apart. You like to think of yourself as a rebel? Some people do. Brag about it. Glory in it. Others want to say, "Well, I'm not really a rebel, I'm not so bad," etc. And the word goes on. Read Genesis chapter 3 and we'll find that we are rebels. Read the book of Romans. We'll find that we are rebels. Actually, we find that Adam and Eve were rebels when we read Genesis chapter 3. And then we find ourselves being rebels. Is there a little echo that's a little irritating? Maybe that will do it. Okay, is that a little better? Maybe? Okay. Maybe that? Okay. Help me out if you will. There are two kinds of rebels in the world. There are some rebels with a cause,
and then there are rebels without a cause. Some of you, and I don't think I ever saw the movie, remember a 1955 movie by James Dean, or James Dean was the star, and it was Rebel Without a Cause. They were just kind of rebelling against their parents. A bunch of teenagers rebelling against their parents. And it didn't start in 1955. The book was written back in 1944 about a community of rebels without a cause, made into a movie in 1955, and it didn't end. Rebellion did not end in 1955 or 61 or 72 or whenever. Some of you, and I remember pretty vividly, some of the rebellion of my age group and those just a little older, a little younger in the 60s, 68. Some of you hadn't even been thought of at that time. I hate to tell you that. You wasn't even a dream in anybody's mind. But except God. Maybe God had you in mind back then. Adam and Eve and Satan. We find those three people, two people, one Satan, a person, or a snake, or a spirit. He's a snake in the grass, wasn't he? Or on the ground at least. Ended up on the ground. And God. This is to say, four characters there. But did they have a cause? No. Look at it. Kind of enjoying life. Enjoying God's presence. Adam and Eve were. And Satan came by and just said, "You can do better than this. You're being cheated." A lie straight from the devil. Can't get more direct than that, can you? Straight from the devil. We often refer to lies as lies right out of the pit of hell. Well, this one was right out of the devil's mouth as he spoke to a certain. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, animals, plants, people. In the beginning, God created people. Right after he had created the rest of the earth. And for the people, life could not have been better. And if we read the first, second chapter of Genesis, God was doing the creating and he created people and he put them in this beautiful garden. We refer to it, it's called the Garden of Eden. And these people that God created, they were in fellowship with God. That's great. You like to be in fellowship with God? We like fellowship with people, but that's quite limited. Fellowship with the one who created us, the one who made us. That's better than crawling up into our mother's arms as a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old and being cuddled. It's better than being tucked in bed by a loving parent, mother or father, and them sitting by our bed till we're asleep. I contend that life could not have been better. God came. I think He came often. I think it's implied that He came often. And He talked with His people and explained to them just about life, or maybe things that they had questions about, or maybe things that they wanted to bring to His attention. All of that is not recorded. But He came with them and He said, in the cool of the day, God came and fellowshiped with His people. And things were great. When God would come and they'd say, welcome, God. He wouldn't say, oh, we better get things in order. He's on His way. He's coming. And His God wasn't like that. They were anxious for Him to come. Of course, He had been watching over, but He was going to come and visit with them. And they were going to commune together, if you will. Wonderful experience it was. God gave them the moral law to govern their human actions and their relations with each other. God wanted, desired wholeness and health in human life. He wanted them to be whole and healthy spiritually, mentally, physically, socially. And God gave Adam and Eve some freedom. He gave them the freedom to accept Him or reject Him. He gave them the capacity to say yes to Him or to turn their back on Him. He gave them the freedom, the capacity, and the freedom to say yes to God or to say, no, we can do it better. And they rebelled against Him. They turned their back on Him. They said, no, God, you don't really know what is good for us. They said, we know better. Well, Satan has told us that you're keeping some things from us that you just don't want us to have. They rebelled. They had a cause. They wanted to be God. They wanted to be God. As we look at this situation, life was so good. But one phrase that I think fits here, Satan and Adam and Eve could not leave well enough alone. They could not leave the ideal situation alone. That's what we do often, isn't it? We see something that's almost ideal and we come in and say, we need to change it. Or it's not good enough. I believe I could improve on that. And that may have its place in many situations, but not in God's perfect setting. The Garden of Eden. So thinking that they could improve on what God had given them, their relationship with Him, improve themselves, I guess. That was their rebellion. God had said, Adam and Eve, these are the things that's best for you. This is ideal. It won't get any better than this. And they said, by their action, but let us pry. We think we know more than God knows. Satan tempted them to do otherwise than God had said, and they followed him, ignoring what God had said. Rebels. That's what they were. Rebels. Someone put it like this: in rejecting their dependence on God and in willful disobedience, the first humans disrupted community with God for which they had been created. See, God created us to be in fellowship with Him, or in community with Him. People in God, having a good time together. God being in charge and us being obedient. Us enjoying Him. Go back to the catechism, I quote it often. First question, the chief end or our number one purpose: to enjoy, to glorify God. To glorify Him and enjoy Him. Just enjoy God's presence. But when they rebelled, when they broke the relationship, they couldn't enjoy Him anymore. Because when they heard God taunting, they went in. He knew where they were, but He acted like He had to look for them. Where are you? Where are you? Adam! Where are you hiding? I guess it was at the first game of hide and seek. God knew where they were. He knew what they had done. They thought they had pulled something over on Him. They hadn't pulled a thing over on Him. See, they said, why did you go hide? And they said, we were fearful. God didn't want us to live in fear. He wants to live in respect of Him. It's about, what you got those leaves over your body for? So we were naked. Well, who told you you were naked? And it would have been okay. But you had to mess it up. That's the bad news. But there's some good news. Although Adam and Eve sinned, the good news is that God continued to love them. God was disappointed in them, I'm sure. It's indicated. God was sad. It's a simple way to put it. God was sad because they didn't love Him anymore. They were fearful of Him. He didn't want that kind of relationship. He still loved His people. Now, that was the good news. But back to the bad news. The sin of Adam and Eve, it touches even us. And you're included in that us. You're one of us. What Adam and Eve did has come down to you and me. People. Because they sinned. Because they sinned. Because they disobeyed God's word. And we look at that and we'll say, all they did is just eat of the fruit. But it could have been anything. But they disobeyed God. They did not trust God. That was what they did. That was their rebellion. They failed to trust God. Because they sinned, because they disobeyed God, because they failed to trust God, all the same thing. We, you and I, we become separated from God also. This is a life reference book. It's really Romans. It's really the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs in it. And verse 12 of chapter 5 of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. And women, don't get too proud, because that means all people. Because all sin. Their sin comes to us. That's not such good news, is it? But we can't just say we're sinners because of what Adam and Eve did. We too have followed their rebellious inclination. We have voluntarily entered into sin. We have rebelled. Oh, how the world allures me. That was in that song 430. Verse 3. Oh, how that world allures me, or pulls me, or oh, how enticing it is to go after the world. And we said, yes, here I am. Maybe God won't care. He forgave in the past. Let's go and, well, maybe we can get forgiveness before we die, because we certainly want to go to heaven when we die. Oh, how the world allures us. So it's not just that we're sinners because of what Adam and Eve did, and we are separated from God because that comes down to us. We have voluntarily sinned. We have done wrong. We have rebelled against God. Rebels. That's what we are. That's what we are. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And we have followed his example. We have gone after him. One of the realities of sin is that its effect spreads. You know, if I could sin, it would only have an effect on me. That would be one story. That'd be bad enough, though. But sin doesn't just have an effect on the sinner. I sin. Well, the last time I got really caught in a sin was, well, not the last time, I guess, but the day we were packing to move. March. I remember this one pretty vividly. March of 08. And the ladies, Louise was one of them, were at our house helping Carol pack and some of our stuff. And they called and said, we're out of boxes. Well, four women at my house, and one of them being my wife, and the other one being Louise, and who was it? Nancy and Teresa there. When they say they're out of boxes, I'm going to rush home. So I jumped in my car, didn't even have a license plate on it yet, had the drive out tag, started home, and right at the new, right in front of the firehouse, I was speeding. Because I didn't have my mind on what speed I was going and the possibility of getting caught. I knew there were four women at the house that needed some boxes, and I was on my way. I was going to the dollar store to buy these laundry baskets, and they make good packing crates, I think. And so I had thought of that, and here I was going, and I got caught. Now, if it had just been me that got caught, and all of the blue lights flashing and all like that, that would have been one story. But that wasn't the end of the story. But everybody in Nolensville that I knew passed by and saw me sitting there. See, it had that effect. And so then they said, and we could laugh about it, and I've kind of laughed at it, but then they said, well, that preacher, he's done something wrong. I don't think I want to even listen to what he's saying. If he can't obey the law, and it just goes wider, and that's a simple one, but it goes wider and wider and wider. It has this effect. And some 12-year-old, when he gets 16, then when we drive, he says, well, the preacher got caught for speeding, and that's okay. And he goes out there and he speeds to 90 and he has a wreck and kills somebody. And it just goes wider and wider and wider. And if I got drunk, and I got the paper for being drunk, and I don't drink, friends. Iced tea and coffee, that's enough. And some colas and a lot of water. But if I got drunk and got caught and got sent to jail and got my name in the paper and all of this, well, some teenager would say, or some adult would say, well, I don't want to go down there and listen to that preacher. He's just nothing but a drunk. And it could be a drunk if I shock somebody or whatever. It would be one thing if my sin only touched me, but it don't. So I have to be an example to the community. You know, me and God might be able to deal with it, but you may take my example and say, he's not really serious about this Christianity that he purports to teach. So it doesn't just affect the sinner. Adam and Eve's sin didn't just affect them, it spread to the whole world. But then we took their example and sinned like they did. So if Adam and Eve, all persons rebel against God, and we lose our right relationship with God, and we become slaves to sin and death, that allure is there. That allure is there. In Genesis 6, verse 5, all this is back in Genesis 3. Well, three chapters later, Genesis 6, verse 5, we find this situation. The Lord looked upon the earth that he had created. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. We go in the third chapter of Genesis from Adam and Eve having fellowship with God, and God coming and visiting with them in the cool of the day as he came and walked upon the earth, to the sixth chapter, and all people could think about was evil, evil, evil. Read it, 6:5. The penalty for our sin. Well, if you go and read, you may want to write this down because I don't think I got it on the notes. The penalty for sin, in chapter 3, we find the penalty for the serpent. The penalty for the serpent. Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And then Genesis 3, 16, unto the woman, he said. And then Genesis 3, 17, and unto Adam, he said. It can't do anything but hurt us. Briars, weeds, go back and read it. Childbearing, the pain of childbearing, we haven't had to experience it, fellas. For the serpent, for the woman, for the man. Genesis 3, 14 and following. Although we, the good news, then we get to the good news again. Although we sin, God continues to love us. He does not leave us trapped in our sinful condition. God calls us back unto himself. And he did it through Jesus. And he does it through Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, we just believe in Jesus. And that's a little bit more than just saying, yeah, I believe that Jesus was a historical human being. Believing means trusting in also. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish or shall not be eternally separated from God, but shall have eternal life in God's presence. That's implied. Then John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, through Jesus. He might save us from our sin. And then John 3:15. sorry. Just so I won't misquote it. That'd be a sin, wouldn't it? Whosoever believes in Him, that's Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. The sad thing about this whole situation I've been talking about, the sad thing is that man sinned and fell out of fellowship with God. But there's some good news. The good thing about this whole situation is that God sent Jesus to restore us to fellowship with Him. He sent Jesus to die on the cross that we might know through our faith in Him forgiveness and eternal life. We're going to sing 5-7. It's really a song of proclamation. Down at the cross where the Savior died, down, etc., etc., from sin I cried. But then the last verse is an invitation. And maybe this would be the day, the hour, the moment that you would respond to God's invitation to you to trust Him, His Son Jesus, for eternal life. 5-7, the first and the last. Stand with me if you will. God, glory to your name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.
done yet. She hasn't finished eating. Пойдем. Сейчас ты приехал в церковь нужно пользоваться. Идем, я с тобой вместе поднимусь.